You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
This one's for Pat! The ball is free! Denver's got it! Touchdown, Denver!
Here's your host of Locked On Broncos, NFL analyst Cody Rourke.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Locked On Broncos. I'm your host, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst and columnist over at predominantlyorange.com, covering all things orange and blue, covering the Denver Broncos nationally. You can follow me on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL. What a great show we have in store for you guys here today on another episode of Locked On Broncos. We are one step closer to NFL training camp coming our way. We are just 12 days away from the Denver Broncos kicking off training camp at the UC Health Training Center in Inglewood. Very excited about that, and hope you're heading out to training camp. And we'll be doing a little feature over here, Locked On Broncos. We'll have, if you're at training camp, you're going to tweet your training camp pictures, hashtag Locked On Broncos at camp. It's going to be very fun. Also want to congratulate the winner of our Locked On Broncos contest giveaway of the Emmanuel Sanders figurine, the 2015 Denver Broncos team poster, and a 2015 kickoff rally towel. Richie Elliott, my man in Utah, listener of Locked On Broncos, he is the winner of the contest. Now, for those of you who entered into the contest, do not worry. We'll be doing it once again in September as the Denver Broncos season officially kicks off week one against the Seattle Seahawks. We're going to be bringing the Locked On Broncos contest giveaway back every single month of the NFL regular season, so you have a lot of opportunities to win a Locked On Broncos contest giveaway. And if you want to automatically be entered into every single Locked On Broncos contest giveaway from this point forward, just go to iTunes right now, leave a review on iTunes of Locked On Broncos, and leave your Twitter handle in the comments of your review. We'll be getting that. We'll enter it into every single Locked On Broncos contest giveaway. Love doing them. We're going to do some jersey giveaways, some memorabilia, and some apparel giveaways in the future for all things Locked On Broncos. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL. Follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Broncos. A lot of exciting news coming for the Locked On Podcast Network. As I said, we are going to be announcing the launch here very soon of something very special. Stay tuned for details. Once I get the green light, I will reveal to you what we have in store over here at the Locked On Podcast Network. A lot of great things going on. And today on the show, we're going to talk about a lot of things heading into training camp. We did a little mailbag edition of Locked On Broncos. I asked Broncos fans essentially what they wanted to hear about as we prepare for training camp. So fans sent in their reaction, their analysis, their thoughts on some positions regarding the offensive line, the secondary, and much more heading into training camp. And I just released a new column over at predominantlyorange.com entitled Top 5 Reasons Why the Denver Broncos Will Be the NFL Sleeper Team This Year. Got some great points in there. Head over to predominantlyorange.com right now to check out the amazing article. I had a lot of fun putting it together. Obviously, my fingers hurt. You know, it's a lot of typing. But if you have the Predominantly Orange app, you don't have to tap next to scroll. You can just keep on scrolling down, and you'll be able to see the full article as a slideshow format. You'll be able to see it all. Predominantly Orange app in your Android or your Apple stores today. Predominantly Orange app, bringing you the latest news, analysis of all things Denver Broncos. And with that, let's also talk about, you know, over the weekend, I had the opportunity to go to Denver and spend some time with family up there, as, you know, just the last week, really before everything kicks off and gets very hectic over here for me. You know, one thing with coaching high school football, covering the Denver Broncos, covering the National Football League, it's a lot of fun. And Denver has a lot of things to do. You know, I spent some time at the Cheesecake Factory. I also spent some time in the mall there, Park Meadows. Got to see a lot of cool things. Also got to go by the, Mile High Stadium. Very excited about that. It's super fun. And I tell you what, Broncos fans are everywhere in Denver. That's one thing I really appreciate. We had some people out there this weekend when I went there, and there was a lot of Raiders fans, which was odd, but you know, one thing I really noticed that I really wanted to take the time to applaud is that there were a lot of Denver Broncos fans walking around, and despite those Raiders fans being there, the Denver Broncos fans didn't heckle them. You know, they weren't really rough towards them, which is actually a pretty cool thing, because, you know, sports can bring a lot of people together despite rivalries. Yeah, it's heated when you're playing each other, but outside of it, you know, people are fans of teams, and, you know, they don't always have to live there. Now, I understand there's a lot of Laker fans in Denver. There's a lot of Raiders fans there. I never understood that. You know, why not live where you're supporting your team? team. You know, a lot of people are going to be going to Vegas. That bridge now between Vegas and Denver is going to be a lot closer than Oakland, so I can imagine we're going to see even more Raiders fans in Denver once they make that move to Los Angeles. But I tell you what, I saw a lot of orange this weekend. It was fun to be around. Got to talk a lot of football, some fans, some listeners of Locked On Broncos. Had a chance to meet some people over there. Very, very excited about that. Next time I'm in Denver for training camp, if you're at training camp, holler at me. Let's get you on. We'll do a remote interview some fans about their experiences at training camp, if they're bringing their family, what they hope to see in 2018 with the Denver Broncos. It's going to be very, very fun, and we're going to bring you all the action at Locked On Broncos. So let's dive on into our topic of the day, our Monday mailbag. Now, I had Broncos fans send me through Twitter some of their thoughts, some of their questions that they have for the Denver Broncos heading into training camp, and I'm going to answer the first one here. Now, Pop Burgundy, he asked the question regarding the battle for the number three cornerback position. Are the young guys like Isaac Yiadom or Brennan Langley, are they making an impact to compete for that roster spot? Absolutely. You know, the Broncos, you know, there's a report out of Del Valle, the Denver Broncos right now are very, very high on Tremaine Brock. Obviously, a veteran guy that played a few years in San Francisco. Last year in Minnesota, didn't really get to see a lot of time in Minnesota due to the depth and the talent they have on that defense. Now he's back in Denver. And, you know, with the departure of Aqib Talib, that leaves a lot of question. You know, Bradley Roby and Chris Harris Jr. are your number one and your number two cornerbacks on the depth chart heading into training camp, which, absolutely, I'm excited about that. Bradley Roby has absolutely earned to be the number two corner for the Denver Broncos. I did a piece a little bit ago talking about how Bradley Roby essentially doesn't have to prove anything to anybody because he, for his 4 years of being on the Denver Broncos, entering the fifth year of his rookie deal, this is the final year of his rookie deal as well, he's going to be due for a contract extension at the end of the season, or he might even get it during the season. We'll have to see how things play out, but Bradley Roby has done a phenomenal job for the Denver Broncos. He's been involved in a lot of crucial plays that have led to their success in 4 years. Go back to the Kansas City game, Thursday Night Football in 2015, the year they won the Super Bowl. You know, Brandon Marshall hits the ball to Jamal Charles' hands. Bradley Roby scoops it up and scores. That's a huge, huge play. You know, and at the, you know, Pittsburgh Steelers game, running backs running to the outside. Bradley Roby gets his hand out, knocks the ball free. DeMarcus Ware recovers. Denver gets it. CJ Anderson goes down, scores the go-ahead touchdown that gives the Denver Broncos a win in the AFC Divisional Championship game. AFC Divisional game. And that led them to go on to the AFC Championship game to play Tom Brady in the AFC Championship game. He had the game-winning, the game-clinching interception on Tom Brady's two-point conversion attempt that would have tied the game at 20-20 with 12 seconds left in the ball game. He obviously, Aqib Talib got a hand on it. Bradley Roby picked it. The Denver Broncos ran back down and obviously ran some time off. Actually, it was an undown time at that point. It wasn't a time down, but he returned it. The Denver Broncos got the kick, and at that point, you know, it was history. Denver was going to the Super Bowl, and they went on to go beat Cam Newton, and he had a very, very pivotal breakup on a third down play on Ted Ginn. That was a big play for Bradley Roby. Bradley Roby has proven his worth to the Denver Broncos and the secondary. Now, when I go through and I look at guys like Brennan Langley or Isaac Yiadom, and even the addition of Tremaine Brock, I think the Denver Broncos secondary has an opportunity to kind of get back on track a little bit. The question is at corner. They obviously brought in Sua Cravens to help as a dime linebacker and safety. Justin Simmons returning from a back injury. He's going to be healthy. Darian Stewart probably going to be used more on running situations, more so for the Denver Broncos. They don't want to put him in an isolation one-on-one against a tight end. Darian Stewart struggled in that area last year and the year before, but you know, I think when you got guys that can take away a lot of matchup issues, I think Sua Cravens is a guy that's going to be huge for the Denver Broncos, especially covering running backs out of the backfield or even slot receivers or even tight ends. He's versatile enough to play as a run-stopping safety and a guy who can cover as a safety, which is absolutely huge. But in terms of Isaac Yiadom, I'm very impressed. He's one of my favorite prospects that I look forward to seeing in training camp and seeing how he translates into the role in the Denver Broncos in the secondary. Because to be honest with you, coming out of Boston College, Isaac Yiadom, one thing that stands out about him is his hips. He's got strong hips. He's got a strong punch. His first step, obviously, he's very effective in the National Football League. I think he's a guy that can really play some lockup man cover corner. And a lot of people have said he struggles a little bit in zone coverage. But with his range and his length, he can be a nightmare nightmare for some, obviously, you know, wide receivers and some quarterbacks, because a lot of times on outside throws, if, you know, you could have great coverage, but if you're not lengthy enough and the ball is placed perfectly by the quarterback to the receiver on the outside, it's hard to deflect or break those passes up. So I think with an advantage for Yadam is his length gives him an opportunity to get those outstretched passes a little more, and I think that gives him an opportunity to be a contributor on the Denver Broncos defense. I think we're going to see him regardless. I think he's going to be a special teams guy to start off. If he doesn't earn a third spot on the Denver Broncos cornerback position, if he can't crack the rotation right away, we're going to see Yadam. I believe it. We absolutely are. And I think Brennan Langley, we're still going to see him in 2018. I think he should be a little bit more on special teams right now. Just evolve there. You know, that's where Kayvon Webster really evolved. That's where guys like David Bruton really evolved. It's on the special team side of the ball. And then they translated over to the defensive side of the ball. But Langley's got a lot to learn. He had a little bit of baptism by fire last year. Unfortunately, that was tough for him. But I think if he can, you know, come into camp very confident. I was talking with Andy Lindahl about this last year as we were heading to training camp. And Langley is a guy that has a lot of raw talent. He's got a lot of the raw intangibles that you're looking for an NFL cornerback. And he's got the ability to be a slot guy for the Denver Broncos, an area where they really need. And Chris Harris Jr. wants to bump to the outside cornerback spot this year, and he's going to get the opportunity to do so. However, he said, you know, what would really predicate him staying on the outside is if they have a guy that can lock up the inside. And if they don't have that guy there, he's going to have to rotate between inside and outside. And that's something we'll see from Chris Harris Jr. But yeah, Pop Burgundy, to answer your question, I think those guys, Yadam and Langley, they can make an impact for an immediate roster spot. I think they're going to contribute, and I think it's going to all work out. Now, Adam Harrell, he asked me, maybe the position battle between Shaq Barrett and Bradley Chubb. I like Shaq, but I want Chubb to win it. You know, I don't really even think it's necessarily a competition at the position. I don't think it's a position battle necessarily. I think Joe Woods is going to be very creative when it comes to these guys. I think in certain situations, we'll see Shaquille Barrett as a defensive end and Bradley Chubb at outside linebacker on certain situations. And I can also see those roles being reversed, where if Shaq is at outside backer, we will see Bradley Chubb at defensive end. He's got the opportunity to do that. But there's a wild card guy, and I also talked about it in my latest piece of Predominantly Orange about the top five reasons the Denver Broncos will be the NFL sleeper team in 2018, is they have a guy, Kevin Holland, who played defensive end, outside backer at the University of Auburn. Now, he's a phenomenal guy. He's a guy that came in through OTAs and immediately started impressing coaches. He's versatile, he's strong, he's quick, and he also is a guy I think the Denver Broncos can find as a gem as an undrafted player. John Elway and the Denver Broncos scouting department have had a lot of success in team history in terms of getting undrafted guys to contribute on the roster. Kevin Holland is going to be a key contributor this year. Now also think about it too. Josie Jewell is another guy that will contribute for the Denver Broncos. A lot of people have talked about him, and I think he's in that conversation. He's another guy that's quickly impressed a lot of coaches and OTAs and training camp. We're going to get a better feel about that here in 12 days. So yes, Adam, I don't think it's necessarily a position battle. There's obviously competition, but I think the Broncos are going to utilize these two guys at the same time in different sets to really help showcase and obviously keep depth very key and very strong, which is super, super important after last year where they were just really riddled with injuries at a lot of their depth positions. So Adam, thank you for your question. Moving on to my man Levi Telfer. He asked the question, how is Justin Simmons looking and what kind of impact can we expect from him this year? Justin Simmons, in my opinion, is one of the most underrated safeties, young players in the National Football League. He played very, very well last year for the Denver Broncos, much, much more improved. Now, in 2016, his rookie season, I was a little more concerned with his ability to cover tight ends man-to-man. We saw him struggle against the Kansas City Chiefs on Christmas, and that game on the road at Kansas City, he struggled covering the tight ends. And he's a guy, I think, that really looked at his game in 2016 as a rookie and really translated in 2017 what it means to improve at that position and obviously get better at your position. He played lights and day better last year for the Denver Broncos. He's very, very, very improved, got a lot of raw talent and a lot of upside, and his ability to fill on the run is especially important for the Denver Broncos while being able to cover the pass. We've seen him intercept passes, return it for a touchdown, break up passes. He can be a guy, in my opinion, that can really be a stellar piece for the Denver Broncos for years to come, and I'm excited to see his, obviously, evolution at the position. Obviously, coming off that injury last year, heading into camp this year, he's healthy, and I think that goes a long way. If he can stay healthy, the Denver Broncos secondary is going to be very, very exciting to watch. Now, Casey Grossnickel, he asked the question. He says, what happens at the left guard and the right guard positions? First heard that Leary would be moved moving to left guard and possibly McGovern moving to right guard. That move would go a long way in solidifying the line. Also, having Leary next to Bowles would help his development. And essentially, I would agree with you, Casey. You know, heading into 2018, once Ron Leary went out with a back injury last year at right guard, Connor McGovern had to step up and be the guy. He had to step up and play, and he was very, very impressive. He's one of the strongest guys on the team as well, so that's good news for the Denver Broncos, who sometimes it looked like their O-line lacked the physicality standpoint of it. But if you can move Ron Leary back to left guard, where he was playing at a very, very high level for the Dallas Cowboys, and I'm not taking anything away from Leary, he was playing very, very well at the right guard position for the Denver Broncos as well. He's playing at an all-pro level. Obviously, he got hurt. The key for him is keeping him healthy. If he can stay healthy, you keep Connor McGovern at right guard. And there's also some other options. If Connor McGovern, for some reason, doesn't work out, the Denver Broncos have guys they're developing. And obviously, Billy Turner, he's a guard tackle hybrid. They also have a guy, you know, Menelik Watson, who played tackle. They want to move him to guard because they feel like it would be a better suited position for him. He's a strong guy. And maybe working on the inside of the O-line might be a better fit for Menelik Watson rather than being on the outside against some of these very quick pass rushers we've seen. If you have pass rushers in your face, it's hard. Tackles have a hard job unless, you know, they play for the Eagles. You know, Lane Johnson had a phenomenal year against some very, very good pass rushers, but there's not a lot of tackles in the NFL like Lane Johnson. So that would be the ideal thing on, obviously, on the offensive line projection, Casey. It would be left tackle Garrett Bowles, left guard Ron Leary, center Matt Paradise, right guard Connor McGovern, and right tackle Jared Vildier. As of right now, that is the starting, you know, lineup on paper that I project for week one for the Denver Broncos. And also, Casey asked, does Josie Jewell unseat Todd Davis at middle linebacker? I don't think he does unseat him this year. Obviously, Todd Davis signing the extension to stay in Denver. You know, I think Todd Davis improved a lot, especially he was very, very big for the Denver Broncos and run support. However, the Denver Broncos with Todd Davis on the field in passing situations, teams would pick on Todd Davis. It's nothing against Todd Davis. That's why the Denver Broncos brought in Sua Cravens and some other guys on passing situations where they can actually line Sua Cravens in as an inside linebacker to help be that accommodation piece for Brandon Marshall, who would be more centered on getting back to covering as well as filling the run this year. They're going to utilize the two inside backers this year to really have that excel. I think Josie Jewell is going to be a phenomenal player for the Denver Broncos. I'm excited to see what he can do for us in camp. And obviously preseason, we're going to see a lot of action from the outlaw Josie Jewell. And then my man Rich Elliott, the contest winner of the Locked On Broncos contest giveaway, he chimed in and he also talked about the offensive line. He was curious about position battles on the offensive line. Well, at that point, you know, I think going back and talking about it, I think that the Denver Broncos O-line, I think it's better in my opinion this year on paper. This is just in theory. We have a lot to test. Now, theories need to be tested in the NFL. Obviously, training camp coming away 12 days from now. That's going to be a very telling sign. Preseason. You're not going to see too much necessarily of how the offensive line is going to blend. The real analyzing factor that we have to look at here is obviously week one of the NFL regular season against the Seattle Seahawks at home in Denver. They come to town. That is the NFL regular season is where you make those observations and you have a more fluent, you know, telling and reading on exactly how well an offensive line is going to do. I think the offensive line is going to be meaner. Now, that's just all my theory on paper. We have to see that translate. So we'll see that week one against Seattle. You know, obviously the Denver Broncos want to develop some guys like Cyrus Quanjo at tackle. They want to develop him a little bit. They're developing Billy Turner. Got a lot of, you know, J.J. Dielman. He's another guy they want to develop as a center in case Matt Paradise did get hurt or does get hurt again. That's going to be a big thing for the Denver Broncos. They want depth and they want guys that are developed and ready at those positions. Now, the last question here of the evening, we have Orange Crush 29. He asked the tight end core and what you think that each player brings to the table and how you see the playing a role this year. Now, this is a great piece. I talked about this in our piece today over predominantlyorange.com about the Denver Broncos, five reasons they'll be a sleeper. The Denver Broncos have to utilize the tight end position more so this year than they have in the last 3 years. The Denver Broncos haven't had a legitimate receiving threat at tight end since Owen Daniels back in 2015 on the Super Bowl winning team. 2016, 2017, they got more of a blocking scheme with Virgil Green and even, you know, they brought in a guy, Austin Traylor, AJ Derby for a little bit. Then they, you know, cut him. That was a surprise release as well. And then Virgil Green was the guy last year for the Denver Broncos, and he just wasn't consistent enough. He wasn't that guy that was going to catch everything that you needed. And so the Denver Broncos were left sitting with, okay, we don't have really any legitimate options at tight end. So Jeff Heuerman has demonstrated, and he stepped up late in the NFL regular season last year for the Broncos. He's demonstrated some athletic ability. He's shown flashes. Now, can he turn those flashes into, obviously a consistent production? I don't know. You know, we'll have to see about that once training camp approaches, but, Jeff Heuerman's a candidate there. We'll see what happens with him. But, the talk of the town regarding the tight end department for the Denver Broncos right now is all based around Jake Butt out of Michigan. He obviously missed his rookie season due to a torn ACL. The Broncos didn't want to rush him back from that injury in 2017. He could have played last year. They decided to keep him the whole year off to rehab, to get ready, to get stronger. And all reports out, he went to, rookie minicamp because he didn't really necessarily get to enjoy it because of his ACL. He got a chance to go out there with Chad Kelly this year at rookie minicamp, and he also had a chance to really shine in OTAs, and a lot of good reports coming out of Dove Valley for Jake Butt. He looks good. He looks crisp. He looks athletic, and he doesn't look like that knee is holding him back in any way. And if he can stay healthy, he can be an athletic catching, receiving tight end, and also can help out in the run game for the Denver Broncos when need be. But he's going to be the pass catching tight end for the Denver Broncos. Now, Troy Fumagalli out of Wisconsin, he's a guy obviously entering his rookie year, in my opinion. I think the Broncos keep three tight ends on the roster. I don't know, which guy gets cut. It could be Traylor, but I don't think they're going to get rid of Fumagalli because he is a playmaking weapon. He's a big guy, very athletic and tall, that can catch passes across the middle, jump over some defenders. He's a guy the Broncos are going to sit back there and develop, and that's going to be a very, very fun thing to watch. I'm very excited about the Broncos in 2018. On paper, they look much, much more improved, but obviously that's just my theory right now, and that has to be tested in the NFL regular season. Preseason's coming up here in just a few weeks. Week one, obviously kicking off against Minnesota. That's going to be a very, very fun game to watch. Just, I'm excited for football to be back, and I know all of you fans that are listening, NFL fans across the world, if you're seeing this on Twitter, if you're listening to this on iTunes, you listen to this on your way home, I know you are just as ready as I am for actual football to be back on TV. I don't care if it's preseason. I'm excited. I love football. I know you love football, and we're going to be doing a lot of awesome things this year, obviously in the regular season. Lockdown Broncos contest giveaway every month of the NFL regular season. Obviously, you know the details. Follow through. Go get it. Obviously, follow me on Twitter at CodyWorkNFL. We'll be back tomorrow for another episode of Locked On Broncos. Have a good evening.